have a lot of big ideas. And they're always not unrealistic. They're just out of place. Like, I subscribed to House and Garden magazine when I was living in an apartment, and I just like to dream big. So, at about the year 2000, I guess my husband and I, we moved to this neighborhood, Woodbury. It's between Hamden and Mondawmin. It's right on, yay, Woodbury! It's right on Drood Hill Park. We moved to a neighborhood that's almost in the park. It's really hidden. It's all brick houses, and it's hard to find. And if it weren't for cell phones, nobody would ever get any pizza. We loved it. We know all of our neighbors. And we knew we wanted to stay there. After about 2.5 or 3 years, it became very clear that our landlord would never, ever, ever, ever sell us the house we were living in. So we started to look other places. It was sad because we kept coming home and thinking, oh, it's not this. So one day I was sitting on the couch and I was working and listening to Oprah. And because I do everything Oprah says, I took this to heart. She had a financial advisor person, wizard, on who was giving house buying advice and said, when you're looking for a house, look for the worst house in the best neighborhood. And I stopped what I was doing and I thought, I know exactly where that house is. And I felt suddenly like a genius. And I talked to my husband, and he was like, yes, that's the one. And it was right across the alley from our house, so it was kind of perfect. It was the neighborhood crack house. But we knew it was nothing we couldn't handle because I was a jeweler and I made things every day out of metal, and how could that not relate to carpentry somehow? And my husband is a photographer, but his grandfather is a carpenter and it has actually built houses, so certainly Jeff knows how to do that. We were crazy. But we eventually got to talk to the owner, and she wanted to sell us the house. And we were on top of the world. We were in love. This was our dream house. It was small, but it's only a little more than 1,000 square feet. All the houses up there are duplexes, but our backyard literally meets the park. This is where we wanted to have children and stay forever and ever. It was perfect. It was our brick. The brick on this house was painted blue, baby blue. It was all crumbling. And whenever we'd bring anyone over to look at it, to say, look, isn't it beautiful? They'd be like, we started on the outside first. Before we even owned it, we knew we were buying it, and we knew it would be possible. So we weren't afraid to go in the yard and start. We also knew it had a lot of problems from the outside. Not even stepping foot inside. We were cool with that. And what we did most outside before we owned it was weed and pick out auto parts. There were tons of auto parts. And aluminum cans that had been run over with like a lawnmower and just broadcast all over the yard. The problem wasn't so much the aluminum as so much as the smell they'd been used to smoke crack out of. So our entire yard smelled like crack. And it was really, it's a really sickening, insidious smell. It's just like one of those chemicals that just seems to coat everything. And my mom was beside herself. She's like, how will you ever eat anything that you grow? You won't. You can't grow vegetables in this garden. It's going to be poisonous. It's okay, it's all good. We'll build raised beds. We had a solution for everything. We knew we could. And by the time we got inside and knew we were dealing with not just, you know, the drugs outside, but the drugs that were just laying around, it was still okay because we could see them and we could pick them up and dispose of them properly. We weren't so freaked out. We could still handle it. The inside, besides the drugs, was a neglected house that had been built in the mid-1800s. So for about 150 years, nobody had properly fixed anything. Instead, they made improvements, like building a trap door in the kitchen floor to the basement and putting electrical outlets way up high on the ceiling. They hadn't bothered to fix any of the rotten floors or the moldy plaster or the crumbling plaster or the crumbling brick that the walls were made of. So we had to do all that. And we were still okay. We still thought, this is good. We can do it. It was $45,000, this house. But the amount of work that it needed to just make it livable was enormous. The things we heard most in those months that we had initially thought would be weeks, because I'm a jeweler and Jeff's related to a carpenter. The thing that people said over and over to us, people who hadn't talked to each other, were, A, you paid way too much for this house, and B, you guys should really see the money pit. We've never seen the money pit. We might be ready now, but it would not have been a good idea then. So we tore out all the moldy plaster ceilings. Jeff looked like a coal miner at the end of every single day. His everything was black from this mystery soot that came out of the ceilings and the walls, and we scooped up tons of bags of plaster and lath and replaced the rotten floor with the scary trap door to the basement. And like 3 months maybe and three dumpsters later, we were finally ready to start rebuilding the house. It was the kind of job that lasted until the time was announced in Greenwich Mean Time on NPR at night. Every every single night. But we were still crazy, and we hadn't quite broken down yet. The one thing that made us stop was the drugs. We bought matching his and hers Tyvek bunny suits, got them on, ready to do something easy and satisfying. Thought we'd take out the rug that was, it was pink shag. It probably hadn't been vacuumed since 1978. It was pretty gnarly. But we thought this will be a good job because we'll take it off and we'll see all the beautiful floors underneath. And we rolled it up and it was easy. And we were feeling good. We took it outside and we dropped it on the concrete and out rolled heroin needle. And suddenly we realized that they're everywhere. They're where we can't see them. And this could actually be a really horrible process. And every layer from then on, like, had needles and crack pipes. And we thought we understood what addiction was and what sadness was, but I don't think we had any idea, like, how much it takes over your life, because that was the only thing in this house, aside from, like, some records from the early 80s and a science book from middle school that was left behind. It just totally consumed this guy's life. But in 2006, I was like this. The house had been cleared of all the nasty, dangerous stuff. We got everything out, all the crumbling bits and the filthy stuff and the drugs. And it was finally safe enough to bring a baby home. Jeff was obsessed with just finishing the, what's that thing on the floor called? Threshold, yeah. The threshold between the kitchen and the dining room. Even we didn't have ceilings in some of the rooms, but the threshold needed to be finished for the baby. And I do believe that's called nesting. We had the bedroom finished and the kitchen and the bathroom, and we brought our baby home. And we were so happy because we had this place for her, and it was starting to feel like a real house. And here we are again. except this time, all the rooms are finished, pretty much. I show our five-year-old pictures of when we brought her home. And she doesn't understand that it's the same house. And she asks where it is. It's like, that's our living room. And she's like, no. It's like, no, really. What do you think about it? And she looks at us and she's like, it's not going right. But it's going right now. Thank you.